It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? I'm so glad that you've joined us today. We're in the book of Revelation, Revelation chapter 5. We're going to read from verse 1 through verse 7. So please open your Bibles to Revelation chapter 5, and we're going to begin reading with the first verse here in just a few moments. While you're looking that up, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you would like to write to us, our mailing address is Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois 62341. If you would like to visit our website, it is at www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. If you would like to send us an email, you can do that at parkviewbible@gmail.com. If you would like to call us, you can call us at here at the church, 217-847-2717. Hope that was enough time now for you to open your Bibles and prepare for the study. Revelation chapter 5. Verse 1, "And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside sealed with seven seals. I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, 'Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof?' No man in heaven, nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much. I wept much because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look therein. One of the elders saith unto me, 'Weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof.' And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb, as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And I came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat on the throne." We're going to end the reading right there and begin with prayer. Father, thank you. We can come and enjoy this precious time. I just ask that you will guide and lead us today through this precious study. Give us your will, your wisdom, your strength, please, dear Lord. It's so exciting to study your word, and I just ask that you open our eyes, our ears, our hearts unto your will and way. All that are listening today, I ask that they will come to you by faith and be saved. If they do not know you as their Savior, please today they'll ask you into their heart to save them. And please, dear Lord, we're going to go through this plan of salvation many times, dear Lord, through this study. Please make it so clear how to be saved, because today is the day of salvation. Don't let anyone miss that. So please, dear Lord, guide and lead us now as we study. Search your precious word and enjoy it. Bless our hearts with it, please, Lord. And we bring all honor and glory to you. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. As we have looked at these verses of Scripture, this past time that we were together, we found that this little book is sealed with seven seals. And it is called the scroll, and as it was wrapped up, it was rolled up, it was sealed each time. And so every time that it is opened a little further, then we have to break a seal, open the seal. And so this book, this scroll with these seven seals, contains the redemptive terms of the earth. Now, Jesus redeemed our souls at Calvary. He will redeem our bodies at the rapture of the church. And he will redeem earth and all of its creation during the removal of these seven seals from the scroll. Now, some of this is review, but we must go through it again, because if we don't, I'm afraid that we have maybe forgotten too much, or you weren't able to listen last time we were together. There are three means concerning redemption, three different things that need to be redeemed. And we have to go back to the Word of God, back to the Old Testament, back to Leviticus, to find out what the Levitical law had to say. We said, well, we're not under the Levitical law. That is correct. However, we have so much to learn from the Old Testament, and there are three concerning redemption here, three laws, three regulations. The first is a law of redemption concerning a wife. If a husband died, leaving no children, the husband's brother was to take his widow so that his name would not die. But he must first be able to support the brother's widow. If he could not financially care for her, he had no right to take her. Jesus, with his own blood, redeemed the bride, the church. Jesus was able. He was the only one who could redeem man. And so we have that redemption. Now remember, we are the bride of Christ. And so as the wife would be redeemed. The next is the law of redemption concerning a slave. Now you might think, what does this have to do? Again, if you were here last time we were together, you have heard this part of it. But we will continue and go in just a little bit deeper. If a man lost all that he had, could not pay his bills, his creditors could take him as a slave. Adam lost all when he sinned, and we thus become slaves to sin, by nature the children of wrath, the scripture tells us. When he served 6 years as a slave, he was automatically free. During the time of creation, God worked 6 days. On the seventh day, God rested from all of his labor. Now, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 8 tells us that one day is as 1,000 years with the Lord, and 1,000 years as one day. Nearly 6,000 years of history, of human history, is recorded in the Word. This earth, God's universe, is 6,000 years old. That would equal to 6 days when it comes to the Lord. So, if we're to the sixth day, the seventh day, the day of rest, the day of redemption is close. The devil's day is about over. The next is the law of redemption concerning the land. If a man lost his property, he was then taken before the judges. Documents were prepared. And for the one who owed the debt, the paperwork would be drawn up with the one whom the debt was owed. The man who owned the land gave this paper, this document, to his creditor, and it had all the terms on it, making the land the possession of the creditor. Only when it comes to the year of Jubilee will that change. But until then, there were only two ways. The owner of the land, the original owner, could himself purchase it back, which that would be impossible. How could he? He had lost everything. Or a kinsman, a near kinsman, could purchase it for you. Now, in chapter 5, to this point in the scripture, chapter 5 of Revelation, two of these redemptions have been literally fulfilled. The wife has been redeemed. The slave has been redeemed. The wife, the New Testament church, Jesus bought with his precious blood, Revelation 1:5. Jesus redeemed the church in his death on the cross. He said, "It is finished," and gloriously he rose again. Now the slave, that was the wife, the slave, he will redeem us from the slavery of sinful bodies at the rapture. That will be the completion of that. But today, it's really already been accomplished because we rest in him, in the hope, knowing that when he appears, we shall be like him. Revelation 4:1, 1 Thessalonians 4:13 through 18, 1 Corinthians 15:51 through 53 are all wonderful verses of Scripture for you to examine that very thing that's taken place. So first, we've been purchased. The wife has been taken care of because of the precious blood that was shed. we will receive the slave. We are slaves to sin, and we're still slaves to sin until the rapture of the church. That will be the completed work. But because God's word is true, we know it's coming. So it's as if it has already taken place, and we'll look forward to that day that our body has been redeemed. The only redemption not yet accomplished is the redemption concerning the land. Israel lost the land. Jesus will redeem the land when he comes with his saints, and that's going to take place approximately 7 years after the church is raptured. We will return. There's 7 years of tribulation in the middle. Today the land groans and travails under the curse of sin. All of creation groans and travails, awaiting the redemption that will be brought about when Jesus comes to lift the curse and to put Satan in the bottomless pit. It's going to be redeemed. It is awaiting the redemption. Adam was the head of all what we know as creation, as terrestrial creation. Therefore, when Adam fell, all fell. We gained sorrow, thistles, thorns. All this is sin's curse upon the earth. Romans 8:22. If you want a New Testament scripture to put into place, Acts, Romans chapter 8, verse 22. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And it's going to do that until it be redeemed. It's the only one of the three. This whole creation, that's what this book sealed with seven seals is all about. It's telling us how it's going to be redeemed. We know by who. The fifth verse tells us the Lion of the tribe of Judah. The sixth verse tells us the Lamb slain by the slain but raised. Let's look at the fifth verse. The Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, is in the fifth verse. The sixth verse, in the midst of the elders stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth upon all the earth. Three conditions must be met according to the Levitical law in order to gain this property back. Number one, it must be a near kinsman. In other words, it can't be a distant cousin. It has to be a close, very close relative. Concerning the wife, it's been taken care of. Concerning the slave, it's been taken care of. We've got to get the property back. And God will redeem it just like he's done the other two. Near kinsman's number one. Number two, he must be willing to act as the redeemer of this land. He must do it of his own free will, not because someone is paying him, not because it will be a financial advantage to him. He must do it from a heart that is willing. A heart that is full of love is the only way this can be done, to buy this land back for the one that lost it. He must have the financial backing. He must have enough money. He must be able to prove that he has enough money to redeem this possession that's been lost. If you'd like an example, I would love for you to go back to Jeremiah. We're not going to take time today, but go back to Jeremiah chapter 32. Jeremiah chapter 32, verses 6 through 15. I would love for you to read that. Now, we need to notice with this scroll that God holds, that we just read are the requirements. A near kinsman, willing to do it freely, and must have the means to do it. Once again, we'll go back to the scroll that God holds. It holds the conditions and the price for redeeming this land. If we return now to Revelation 5:3, we find at that place and that point there is no one found to do that. Every place has been searched, and no one is able to open those seals. In the fourth verse of chapter 5, we find John weeping because of that. Now, why is he weeping? It's because if there be no one found, the wife's been redeemed, the slave's been redeemed, now the land is left. And if there be nobody to redeem the land, then we find that all creation will stay underneath this curse. But worse than that, we find that the Word of God is not true. Because you see, the Word of God that tells us of the wife, of the slave, also tells us of the land. And the Word of God cannot be partially right. It is right from cover to cover. So many people today, they speak of heaven. People that are not believers in Jesus Christ at all. And yet they say that heaven, oh, I'm going to heaven. And you ask them, is there a hell? Well, no, there's no hell. Loving God wouldn't send anybody to hell. And so either there isn't one or he's not going to send anyone there. Well, the same book that tells us of heaven tells us how to get there. And you need to pay attention to that. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Believe, not in just the mind, but believe in the heart, that God hath raised him from the dead, that he died for your sins. Believe it. If you don't truly believe it in your heart, if you don't accept the Lord Jesus, believing, salvation's not yours. Heaven is not yours. And as far as is concerned, will anybody go to hell? Yes. And you're going to be one of them if you don't believe Jesus, that he saved you, took your sins away. If you do not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, salvation is not yours. So you see, as we look through the wife, the redemption, the slave, redemption. So we're going to not only have our sins forgiven, we're also, as the bride, we're also slaves to sin. That's going to be taken care of and has been because Jesus died on the cross and rose again. But the land is still cursed. This hasn't taken place yet. So if this part is not true, none of it's true. People have this thought that you can take and leave whatever you want to, but that's not true. You can't do that. You have to believe it all. We must find somebody here that is worthy. And then we find that the elder spoke in the fifth verse. One of the elders saith unto me and to John. And so down here he's crying because there appears to be no one able, no one worthy. But in the fifth verse, one of the elders saith unto me, weep not, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book, to loose the seven seals thereof. Worthy. We have found someone worthy. What a wonderful find. The Lion of the Tribe of Judah. You see, that was prophesied back in Genesis. As a man, Lion of the Tribe of Judah. But then we have of the root of David, the Creator of David. That's God. He is the Creator. Let's look to Revelation chapter 22, verse 16. Revelation 22, 16. I, Jesus, have sent mine angels to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and offspring of David and the bright and morning star, the root, Creator. What a wonderful verse of Scripture. The root of David was the near kinsman of Adam. Adam is the one that lost the right to reign over the earth. God gave it to him, and he lost it when he was disobedient. Adam became the slave of sin and the slave to the devil. Jesus was willing to pay the price of redemption. He was willing. Jesus came to lay down his life. I want to show you John, the Gospel of John, chapter 10. John, chapter 10, verse 18. John 10, 18. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it up. That's our Lord. Jesus was willing, and Jesus was able to pay the price. What a wonderful, wonderful. First, near kinsman, the root of David. Second, was he willing? Yes, according to John chapter 10, verse 17 and 18. Was he able to pay the price? Yes. Let's look once again at John 10, 18. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have the power to lay it down, the power to take it up. The 17th verse above, therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. So you see, not only willing, but also able. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18 through 23. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18 through 23. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition of your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish, without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God, that raised him from the dead, and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God, seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren. See that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. yes, Jesus is able to pay the price. What wonderful verses of Scripture to read, to study. So, once again, no man in heaven nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book. No man, neither to look thereupon. John wept much, because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. One of the elders saith unto me, Weep not, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book, to loose the seven seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne, and of the four beasts, in the midst of the elders stood a lamb, as it had been slain, having seven horns, seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God, sent forth unto all the earth. He came, he took the book out of the right hand of him that sat on the throne. Remember, as we studied a couple of studies back, John didn't realize there was somebody else. And then eyes was opened to see on the throne God the Father. And of course, God the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, he is worthy. So you see, we have in the fifth verse, the one that's worthy is the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, Jesus. Verse 6, worthy. Stood a lamb, as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. Worthy, Jesus. And next, it brings us together, worthy. He came, took the book out of the right hand of him that sat up on the throne. What a beautiful study. Thou art worthy. Thou art worthy. He came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors that are the prayers of the saints. He came and he took the book. And when he had taken the book, the 24 elders fell down. That's the church. The four beasts fell down. You know, the word lamb in Revelation is used 28 times. Lion in Revelation is only once. Every one of them had musical instruments, and they played. Every one of them had vials full of sweet incense. And those vials, you think of a vial maybe in a lab, but this is a kind of a broad, shallow cup full of incense. And it says, which are the prayers of the saints. Do you remember the incense altar that we looked at back in Exodus 37:25? You see, you got to know the Old Testament. If you've not studied Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, the five books of Moses, you have really missed a blessing. And a lot of these things are just kind of foreign to you. You need to know them and study them and search them. Exodus 37:25. And he made the incense altar of acacia wood. The length of it was 1 cubit, the breadth of it was 1 cubit. It was 4 square, and 2 cubits was the height of it. The horns thereof were of the same. He overlaid it with pure gold, both in the top of it and the sides thereof. And there was a crown round about. Made 2 rings for it, made 2 staves for it. There is the incense altar. Back in Exodus 37:25. Now we're going to begin here next time. Oh, my dear friend, I hope you know Jesus. I hope you've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. My dear friend, what are you going to do? about Jesus.